one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Jessica, roll call, please.
Lassiter.
Here.
Nemechek.
Here.
Conklin.
Here.
Moody.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Quorum present.
Okay, thank you. Moving on, we have the consent agenda. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public can ask that any of the items on the consent agenda be removed and placed as a last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. We have approved the February 14th preliminary audit session meeting minutes as presented. We have the approval of the February 14th, 2023 regular meeting minutes as presented. And we have approved the recommendation of city staff to proclaim Arbor Day in the city of Boyne City on Friday, April 28, 2003. Anyone in the audience with a question or comment? Commissioners, are you good with the consent agenda? If so, I'd appreciate a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Is there a second?
Second that.
Jessica, roll call, please.
Moody.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Lassiter.
Aye.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Moving on, we have citizens' comments on non-agenda items. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to address the commission on an item that is not on the agenda? Just if I could just lay the ground rules out for just a second.
Sorry.
We ask that you go to the podium, state your name and address, and you're limited to 5 minutes, and Jessica will be keeping time. If it's possible for us to answer a question that you raise, we'll try to do that. If not, we'll be back with you in a reasonable amount of time. So.
I'll try to read my notes. I don't know if it's going to work. Good morning. I'm Jacqueline Malloy. I live at 919 Lower Lake Drive. I'm a resident full-time of the city of Boyne City. I've been present in the city since 1960 and have lived at Lower Lake Road and or Drive and also Bay Street. I was here back in June of 2022 concerning the bubblers on our lake and our northern shore. I want to comment that I have a vision for our lake. I want it to be safe. I want people to be able to use it all four seasons. My father and his friends had a vision for this town. They protected it. They donated the Hill Conservancy. My father's no longer here. And I'm telling you, if he was here right now and knew the children can't play on this lake in the northern shores, he would be quite upset. So I got up here a couple weeks ago, more than a couple weeks ago. The lake, you know, we had had a lot of warm weather. But what's going on now, we've had very cold weather. No one on all of Lower Lake Drive can use the lake. There is a new dock, as I told you last year, that is there, that has three very extremely noisy bubblers. And no one's out on the lake anymore. No one's coming to our public access down there. I walked on it for the first time in the snow yesterday. They can't access the lake because the water is not water. It's not ice anymore. So, anyways, back to everything. We have a problem up on Bay Street with three of the permanent docks that are there, the bubblers. They've been there for years. And as I said last year, the public access at the end of Bay Street is all liquid. Dr. Jack Herzog many years ago brought that to this town and tried to fight the bubblers that went in down there with no avail. So here we are, President's Weekend. I had two of my niece's little boys here wanting to fish on Bay Street. They wanted to go ice fishing. Guess where they got to go? They got to go to Thumb Lake. They could not fish out in front of where they were at. Down on our Lower Lake Drive, the kid across the street was here this past weekend. He could not get out to go ice fishing. I don't know what we can do other than ban these things. They are banned in the state of Michigan right now in many communities. They are a hazard to the people that are out there. The bubblers are meant to save these permanent docks that have been approved by the state of Michigan. But what they're doing is we are losing our ice coverage. And we lost it last year in the month of March, from all the way from the landing all the way to Glenwood Beach. And I gave you all pictures of that last year. So what I'm proposing is that we ban these bubblers on our permanent residence properties, because what else are we going to do? If we get another dock with a bubbler, we will be opened up everywhere out there. And I don't think that's appropriate. I have been taking pictures all week of, not week, 2 weeks, of what happens on our lake. We had about 8 inches of snow. It melts in front of my house every day. And I'm like, what, 8 doors down from those bubblers? That's, you can't do that. You can't do that to people. We have some other people here that live on the lake. They have no access to their lake. Sharon McJanet above me, she couldn't be here today. She can't even use the lake. She will never use it again if that bubbler's there. Never, ever, because she's right on top of that bubbler. And so are these people sitting next to me over here. I can't use the lake anymore. I'm not letting my daughter's boyfriend's or fiance's dog out on the lake anymore. He's going to die. And so is a child. So when are we going to do something about these bubblers? No child going out on our park right now is going to know that that is unsafe ice. And we are going to lose a kid in this town. And I don't think this town would be very proud of that in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else?
My name is Catherine Hunter, and I'm here to find out just exactly where we are with the marina. There's a lot of people that I know of that have boats that are in the marina or trying to get a boat in the marina. But I'd like an update, because it's not even on the agenda. So I'd like to see where we are with this. And I know there were some proposals. I think there's like two proposals to up. I was there when we agreed on proposal three. And so, since I don't see it on the agenda, and it's really important not only to the people that have boats here, but I have a number of friends that, and maybe Mike, you know this, there's a number of people that are on the waiting list to get in the marina. So, because I haven't seen it on the agenda, I'm just asking you guys, where are we since the last discussion on the marina?
Mike, are you on?
I can give a brief update if you like.
I think it would be appropriate.
Okay.
Commissioner, or do you agree with that?
Yeah, it was a question I had on Mike's memo as far as the city manager's report. I was going to ask for an update in regards to the permitting agencies.
Correct. The City Commission has approved Concept 3, as you mentioned before. Proposal 3, as I think you mentioned that. They've also further basically said that they want to go forward with getting D-Dock, which is the main floating dock out there, which we had the electrical problems with, no electricity on it last year. Having that one rebuilt and going out for bids on that. They've not gone out for bids on that yet. We have heard from the contractor that the earliest that we could get bids would be after this season, that we could actually have work done, I should say, would be after this season, that it could possibly be built in this fall, after the boating season, for possible use in the next season, or in this, basically floated in the spring. So nothing that we can do at this point with regards to a complete rebuild of Dock D will help us for the coming season. It looks like, at this point, the status of the marina will be very similar to what it was last year with regards to the lack of electricity on the main floating dock. Mm-hmm. But the other docks would be operating in their current conditions unless there's some minor repairs we can do ourselves. Most of the, like the flotation docking systems, they're pretty well booked up for any work at this point. After the commission basically said we wanted to go out and get bids for docks, Dock D, D-Dock. I've been working with the Army Corps of Engineers in the state. Mm-hmm. Our permits are good until, for what we had previously planned, are good until 2024. So we still have some time on that. The question is whether we can get those permits modified that the state will basically, the state and the Army Corps of Engineers would accept as a minor modification, or basically accept proposal three, concept three, to work underneath those permits, or whether they're going to require us to get all new permits. We don't know that answer yet. I'm working on submitting information to them that has not been submitted at this time, but they've asked us to put that together. The commission asked staff to basically work on putting that information, both with regards to getting bids and with regards to any permitting work, to do that internally. And basically that's falling on me, and I'm doing that the best I can, but it's a slow process for me, unfortunately.
Right. So you said there's two proposals?
No, there's the big overall proposal, which is right. Concept three, proposal three. And as part of that, the City Commission said, let's rebuild DDOC. That was kind of what the right. first priority, and that's what they wanted to go out for bids for.
Right.
So those are, I see them all as one of the same process, because mm-hmm. DOC D, as the Commission laid it out in our most recent discussion on it, fits within the latest concept three that they approved. So if they do that, it will fit in with the overall vision they approved at the meeting you said you had.
Yeah.
So
okay.
That's my report or summary, and I hope I reflected that correctly, but that's
all the commissioners agreed with that during the...
Well, I want to be careful. We don't need to go back and forth. I mean, you had asked for summary
okay.
where we are, and that's the other thing. Are there any other
questions? Well, I just haven't seen it on the agenda for the last two times, so that's why I'm here, because I have a number of people that are wondering, that have votes here, what's going to happen to them, and then there's a number of people that have been trying to get into this marina. So, you know, and they come to me, so I was just trying to get more information because it really is so important. In addition, I just want to say one other thing, which should be fixed on DDoC, is that, and hopefully it'll just all be replaced, because the water stations that Barb got like a couple years ago, she got a deal on them. Well, most of them leak, which cost money. So that's another issue besides all the other problems with DDoT. I'm here so I can communicate to others, because when I don't see it on the agenda, I don't know what's happening. So that's why I'm here, and hopefully with a smaller project like that, we should be able to move on that other thing. Wouldn't you, Mike?
Mm-hmm. Again, we'll find out what the results, I don't know if you want to be here to address that. Sorry, I should have gone here. We'll see, I mean, the first critical step is to find out where we stand with the permits.
Right.
If we can make those, if the permits can be made to work for that, the second step is going out for the bids on DDoC and getting the proposals back for that. If we can't get the permits modified, that would require a whole new permitting process, and that could be an extensive process. That could be 6 months or a year.
Hopefully not.
The only other thing I could, if I may, if people do have questions with regards to the marina, Mark Gallup is still working with that. He filled in for Barb's position. And you can call and leave a message here. Just dial our regular number, 582-6597. He's handling the interface with the state and the CAMAS system. And if people have questions with regards to slip assignments or things of that nature, he can help them with that. But they should be going through the state reservation system. And that is open and taking reservations currently.
Okay. Good luck.
Anyone else?
My name's Kurt Price, 941 Lower Lake Drive. We're a neighbor, a little bit closer than Jackie on the bubblers. My water's totally open from my house. You can't even think about walking up there. Jackie presented that last June, as she mentioned earlier, and we never got any answers. Did anybody look into it? Did anybody do any studies on it? Did anybody even check into it? Was it just thrown aside? We never heard another word about it, anybody. I know Jackie's left several messages. I've left messages for other things. We don't get phone calls back. Don't understand that. Doesn't make any sense to me. We pay high taxes over there. I pay really high taxes over there. And we expect to get help from our city to help keep our city safe. I know, Michael, I've left you messages on fence issue because I'm right next to the beach. Never got a call back. I bet I left half a dozen. Jackie's left messages, no calls back. She had to sit in front of your office to wait to get in to talk to you about this issue. Is it something you guys don't want to deal with? Are you guys just telling us to take a hike or what? What's going on there?
Public safety is of great interest. I
can you speak up, please? I don't have very good hearing.
The public safety is of great interest to the city commission. There was a meeting. I had checked with my concern last year was with who has jurisdiction over that. I checked with the Tip Top Michigan, the MIT, and the city does have the ability to regulate that. And it'll be an issue as we move forward now in the very near future, whether or not the city commission wants to have the city manager move forward and create a possible ordinance that we can consider on bubblers.
I mean, and what was brought up, I spoke at that meeting in June as well. It was brought up that I know that those things can be regulated. They can be turned down, they can be turned up. Right now, they're blasting. In my master bedroom, that's all I hear all night is just bubbles going off all night long. And that's what's creating the problem. I don't think that needs to be going full blast in order to keep those that open. I understand the state allowed them to do that. That's just, you know, nothing we can do about that, I get it. There's gotta be a way to regulate that. I know she paid a shit ton of money for that, excuse my language, to get that done. But, you know, it's not her fault because they let her do it. But there's got to be a way we can regulate how those bubbles are being put into the water because it's stirring up the bottom. I mean, it's making a mess over there. And it's really a nuisance. It really is. So we hope that somebody jumps on this and takes a look at it and sees what we can do about it. And maybe we hear something in the future about it. We really do. All right? Thank you.
Anyone else?
Afternoon. My name's Pam Manning. I live at 301 Bay Street, Unit 4. I've been a resident at 919 Lower Lake Drive and 417 Bay Street in the past. They're now family members owning those properties. We've dealt with this for years on Bay Street. And I'm here today to support the concerns raised by Jackie and Kirk Price regarding the usage of bubblers within our city limits. I understand that it is the city's jurisdiction, and unfortunately, these bubblers are impacting us negatively, not only by a few private residents putting these bubblers and permanent docks in. These bubblers not only impact our Lakeshore residents, but all of you, every community member, every visitor that comes here. Our lake accesses are close by. On Lower Lake Drive, the lake access, you cannot go out on that ice, not a foot, without falling through year-round. There is no ice. I'm really concerned that we might have a tragic accident occur. That access is used year-round by people. And a lot of people don't realize how thin the ice is if there is snow covered on it, such as this morning. But within a couple hours, that snow that fell last night is gone. It has melted. So that just shows you how thin that ice is. And I just hope that you and the citizens take this situation seriously in the future going forward. And I propose you to get this on the agenda sooner than later before we have a tragic accident of losing a fisherman, a child, a dog, a wild animal, whatever. And look at it from an ecological standpoint. Bubblers affect the quality of your lake when you don't have ice, and is scientifically documented. If you need some of that documentation, Jake Mulloy has that information. She might have submitted it to you already. I urge everyone in the city to be concerned. And I propose that you put it on the agenda in the very near future. Thank you.
Thank you. Ron?
Ron Crozier, 1121 Crozier Drive, Point City. Last Friday night at the Eagles, Jim White in Point City Harbor donated 12 AEDs to churches and to the American Legion Post at no cost. He paid for them. And he worked with Brenda Wilson, Ames, the director, and her and Amanda were there to do a demonstration. But through that, Brenda worked with him to get the best one that was coordinated with ours that EMS has. And it's an asset for the city of One City that all these places have these defibrillators in their building now, and they can help out and do the CPR classes and so on and so forth. But most important for us to realize what we have with the EMS, and Brenda's doing a heck of a job there. You know, her constituent, Amanda, a month ago, I had a low blood sugar reaction that was very low. I didn't know who I was or what was going on. Her and her husband came and helped me out. Did an awesome job. I can't say enough for them. You know, it's just one of those things. I'm ashamed of the city manager, the mayor, for not being there to support a businessman in Boyne City that wants to help out the city. It's a disgrace. And that's where I'm at with that. The other thing I want to say is, last week, the city workers cleared the streets of snow. Yeah, they did all of them except for in front of the American Legion. Another disgrace to the veterans. And who's in charge? The city manager. Help me understand this. Ongoing. And why do we have so many problems with so many people leaving the police department, city hall, and so on and so forth? Because someone doesn't want to pay these workers, but yet he thinks he needs to get a big raise. That's a disgrace. Yeah, I'm talking to you. It's a disgrace. You know, is he worth what he thinks he needs to get? No, I don't think so. You know, because it's all about him, recognition. He wants to get credit for everybody else's, what they do. And I won't even go into the memorial. And I won't even go into the cemetery. But it's a disgrace of what he does to the vets for whatever reason. I know I'm not well liked, I don't care. But I tell it the way it is, and that's the way it is, folks. Support your cops, support the EMS, because if it wasn't for them doing their jobs, where would it be? Thank you.
Brenda, the next time you have an event like that, could you let me know?
So, can I speak really quick?
Sure.
So, I was invited to this event at the Eagles to demonstrate the AEDs.
And it got changed due to a scheduling conflict with them. So it was Friday night, and they invited 11 local churches. I think that's what I want to talk about. But yeah, it was a really cool experience. And this is a very large donation. And to reach out to me and make sure that they worked with the new cardiac monitors we bought will also save us time and energy, because they plug in, plug in, 2 seconds. So normally we're ripping pads off and replacing them. Now we don't have to do that. So yeah, it was a very nice donation from Jim.
Could someone offer up a training class on that for maybe like the community?
Boyd City EMS teaches CPR classes, and that's what the teaching from AEDs comes from. You can contact us directly here at City Hall. We set those classes up all the time, so please reach out to us. We definitely want to teach CPR.
Awesome. Are you on from this? I want an opportunity to take the floor.
Okay.
Okay,
my name is Bob Carroll. I live at 130 Silver Street. And I'm here just to recognize, and I would hope the city would recognize Jim White for the donation on AEDs that were provided to the churches. That is an investment of about $2,000 a unit, maybe a little higher. So 12 units is a substantial investment. He did it to churches or to places where people gather. Those are all things, and I'll switch hats because I'm a representative of Genesis Point Church. But I'm also an EMS. So time is brain, time is heart, time is not working people's favor when they have a cardiac arrest event. So the AEDs in those areas are critical for us to see a better outcome. And I would think that we'd want to keep our citizens around a little longer. So, and through this donation, we have the capability to do that. So with Jim, he has a consistent pattern of being involved in community events. I would hope the city would recognize the AED contribution, and maybe one of the photos that you took at the event could be done in the newsletter. Make a mayor for day. I don't know. Somehow recognize him as from the city for his steadfast contributions to this community, and the fact that he remains and an advocate for the people in general. So I know he's been involved in many projects, and I think we'd be missing the boat if we didn't recognize him for that in some way. So that's my two cents. Thank you. You're welcome. Anyone else?
Yeah, so in regards to the comments, or I have an issue with one thing. If the DPW is clearly, purposely not plowing in front of the American Legion, I would like to have follow-up with that and figure out if that's true, accurate, why that might be. And then as far as setting an expectation with the bubblers, I know me personally, the material I got is an email that was sent by the mayor and correspondence that the city does have jurisdiction over it. That email stated that there's photos that were being taken for the last week to 2 weeks. I still haven't seen the photos. But from my understanding, and this is just to help the individuals that are here with this concern, even the process of creating ordinance isn't something that happens quickly. And it took me getting involved at this scale to really understand that as well. There's a timeline to the process, essentially. I'm not opposed to it at all. I see a need in controlling and containing that as well, just like we have done recently with STRs and short-term rentals. Just throwing it back out there, though, if you're looking for this to be on the very next agenda topic and ordinance passed by the next city commission meeting, unfortunately, that's just not legally probable or possible, essentially. But the gears are turning, so be patient with us. It's not something we're avoiding purposely. Continue to provide feedback to us so that we can continue to direct the city administration at the end of the day. So just throwing that back out there to kind of set the expectation. If you don't see it on the next city agenda topic, it's not because you're getting ignored. It's because the process is going through potentially between the zoning and planning director, the city administration, the city commission, the city attorney as well.
There's already a dock out there that's privately owned, the bubblers. If we create an ordinance, does that automatically eliminate grandfathering opportunities? Are they grandfathered in because they've got a permit for Eagle already, so on and so forth? These are all questions that their attorneys are going to have to get involved with at some point in time. I'm not the expert. The city manager is not the expert. But the gears are turning, essentially. So we're moving forward at this point.
Am I allowed to talk?
You're going to have to get that permission from the chair, which is...
Am I allowed to talk?
We can close it.
Okay.
If you don't mind. I would like to go to the other commissioners. So is there anything you'd like to summarize here before we move on with what we've heard? Just to give you that opportunity?
On all of it, right? I respect the comment, you know, that was just made about the, you know, about Jim. I mean, I agree with you. You know, I don't think anybody knew that that meeting was taking place, and that's not how Jim does things. He doesn't go, all right, I want everybody to be here and give me kudos. So I think that, I think having a recognition of something, that would be fine. As far as to, you know, where Tim was talking about the bubblers and stuff, there are, you know, a lot of questions. The biggest thing, I don't believe there's no sense. ways of trying to address it and hopefully, you know, getting it diminished, if nothing else. And in some of the links that were in there, there was no teeth that if any of these people wanted to sue you, it'd be an open and shut case. So I don't want to start something just to get sued either. But I do want to look into them further. I guess we don't need to address everything.
No, I just wanted you to have the opportunity if you wanted to express anything. George, or Tom?
First thing is, I'm speaking on behalf of Steve back there. Steve has been listening over the last few months, and we're just not doing a good job of using our microphones, and it's for the people on Zoom, so we do have to do a better job there. Not here, but for the people that are listening online. As far as the bubblers, yes, we did not ignore that. It went to our lawyers, and we just got some answers back. It went to our, you know, people that we consulted with, and it's a complicated issue because there's the bubbler issue compared to are you sending air in that creates bubble, or are you sending a propeller to create underwater current? That's one issue. Second issue is unsafe ice. Well, we got unsafe ice throughout the whole city, including our marina that we bubble, including two private marinas, actually the Harbridge and in front of Cafe Santé and the landings. They use the bubbling. We have unsafe ice up and down the Boyne River, which is in the city limits. So my point is, absolutely, we need to explore this, but there's the issue of bubblers and there's the issue of unsafe ice and signage and so on and so forth. So it warrants our further investigation, yes. And as far as Jim White, I think everybody in our town appreciates Jim White, and there was not any intent of a slight on his behalf on our part. I read about it on Facebook the day after, and absolutely appreciate Jim's efforts for our community, including the splash pad. So.
Thanks, Tom. George, anything?
Yeah, just again, I think I'd like to, if we could do something to recognize Jim, you know, a certificate or something we can do to recognize his generosity to help out as many people. He is a really generous man. And again, he's very low-key. He doesn't toot his own horn. I know nothing about this either. I think it's great. As far as the bubblers go, you know, I think of the South Arm. I know a lot of people live on the South Arm in permanent docks, and you know, some of the people don't turn their bubblers on until late in the season. And I'm talking, when I talk about bubbler, I'm talking the little propellers that go in a little cage underwater to keep the water circulating so it warms the water. I don't know much about the actual bubbler systems that blow bubbles. I'm not sure we're talking about two different things here, or just the little propellers. Typically, they're called bubblers, I mean, either way. But, you know, I know several people that have them on the South Arm, and they're able to do them in what looks like the same manner. They wait until it's late in the season, they turn them on, or if they're on, they're just melting the water around them. They're not spreading, you know, down the shoreline like these folks are talking about. You know, I think there's a way to do it safely and responsibly. And I'm not sure, you know, if these people have been around long enough to know how to do that right. But again, it's a complicated matter, and we're having to deal with it.
I just wish all you guys would go down there and listen to it and see it. If you guys could just please do that. Seriously, if you were
to
they will never have city ice. Ever. That whole boat will never have city ice. Ever. With those bubbles out.
Come and sleep at our house tonight. I'll give you our master bedroom.
You made your point very clear. I appreciate you being here and expressing yourself, and it's certainly something that we need to look into. How eventually this resolves, you know, we'll see. But I certainly want you to know how much we appreciate you bringing this forward and stating something that you're witnessing. It's an unsafe path. It's a hazard, and we need to at least look at it, get into it, and decide what's the best route to move forward. Yeah, I appreciate you bringing this. Okay, is there any other public comment? I guess we can close the public comment. I've got a little filter here, so. Anyway, thanks to all of you for that say. Moving on, we have correspondence. Do we have any correspondence? No correspondence? Then we move on to the city manager's report, right?
Following up on the discussions at our last city commission meeting, we confirmed that persons that are interested in running for the two city commission positions that will be up for election in November must submit their final materials to the city clerk treasurer by 4 p.m. on Tuesday, April 25th. This information was shared on social media and on our website, and if people are looking for more information, they should contact our city clerk treasurer, Jessica Pearl. With a little update with regards to the short-term rental activities, since the ordinance has been going into effect, as of yesterday, Scott reports that we had 149 active short-term rentals in the city. For those, 120 licenses have been issued so far, as of yesterday, 82 of which were in the traditional residential district, 6 of which are for accessory dwelling units, and there's 7 additional applications submitted but are pending payment. Chief State and our police department were pleased to report that we have filled our last remaining position for a police officer. Michael Patrick was sworn in last Wednesday to fill a much-needed role. Officer Patrick comes to us with 4.5 years with Charlevoix County Sheriff's Department and 5 years with the Little Traverse Bay Band of Odawa Indians Tribal Police. He's a native of Charlevoix and has called Petoskey's home for about 18 years. And we're very excited to have him part of our team and look forward to the experiences that he brings with us. We're continuing to make progress with a possible candidate to fill our water, wastewater, and DPW superintendent positions. I look forward to that recommendation to finalize that recommendation to the city commission within the week. We've been working to see if we could bring back the ice rink up at Avalanche, but with the high temperature forecast to be above freezing all week, the outlook is not looking promising. So we have been kind of keeping an eye on the weather to see if at our meeting this week, our Park and Recreation Commission will be considering a recommendation to the City Commission on possibly applying for state recreation grants. Subject to recommendation would come to the City Commission for its consideration and possible approval, and they would need to be submitted to the state by April 1st to make this grant cycle.
Consumers Energy has announced a $25,000 Put Your Town on the Map pitch campaign. If you want more information on this or have possible projects that could be pitched, please let me know. They are limiting the competition to one submission per community. And initial reports from the Chamber of Commerce are that last weekend's Multania Festival went very well. Do you have any questions on these or other items? I'd be glad to try and address them.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioners, any questions?
I do.
So I was going to ask for an update on the Marina, but we already went over that. So I just asked for an update, more or less, for the remaining, for the public and the remaining commissioners, on hiring the two additional EMT employees that we spoke about a couple meetings ago, and the employment with Housing North for Shelby County.
Sure. Brenda and the EMS department have been working on revised memos with the additional information the City Commission requested for consideration of those additional two positions that they would like to fill. We've gotten close to having the memos prepared, but they haven't been quite ready for submittal to the City Commission. So once it's finalized and everybody's comfortable with has the information the commission asked for and answers any other anticipated questions that might come up, it'll be on your agenda. With regards to the Housing North position that's been vacant since July, Yarrow Brown from Housing North convened a meeting last week in East Jordan at the Charlotte County Community Foundation offices. And that had representatives from Boyne City, the City of Charlevoix, East Jordan, and Charlevoix County there. And Yarrow, Ms. Brown, was basically looking and saying they have not come up with an ideal candidate yet, and they're looking at various options to bring somebody on board, possibly as a contractual position, possibly as a part-time position, get that filled as quickly as possible. The communities that were there expressed support with her efforts and told her to get creative to see what they could do with regards to it.
Thank you. Okay, moving on. We have the reports of office boards and standing committees. And then we have our January 2023 financial statement. Commissioners, any questions? Is that information? Okay, we have nothing on your old business. Moving on, we have new business, well, three additional improvements.
Okay. I'm bringing up the screen so other people can watch along too. As the City Commission may recall, at meetings last year, the City Commission approved having Peerless Midwest replace two large valves inside our water production well number 3 building, which is located south of the 1910 building on Division Street at a cost of $9,240. While preparing to get those installed, it was determined that two additional items were needed. We needed to put an insertion valve just outside the building so we could isolate the building from the rest of the active water system. Without having to shut large portions of the town down for a couple days, and that a water check valve inside the Well 3 building needed to be replaced as well because it wasn't closed properly. The City Commission at our December 13th meeting authorized the installation of the new insertion valve for an amount not to exceed $16,640, and then also added an additional $5,000 on top of that to replace the check valve for an amount they approved at that night of $21,640. The insertion valve has been successfully installed. That valve installation cost was approximately about $11,000 because we were able to use city personnel to do most of the site work that was necessary, so we didn't need to get an outside excavator or fence removal or anything. The approved check valve was not installed, and the well is not back into water production. And the reason the check valve was not installed is because we had a meeting with a proposed bidder and water wastewater department personnel on the replacement of the check valve. It was determined that
really all the piping components in that pump house building. And I'm going to bring up a picture here in a second. From the valves that we scheduled to have replaced and previously approved, all the way past the check valve to the pump itself needed to be replaced. And it was determined that, or basically recommended that we go in there and do it once, so we're not opening and closing the water system and working on those pipes and assembling them and disassembling them multiple times. Based on this assessment, we were able to obtain quotes from the two vendors known in Michigan to specialize in this type of work. Those quotes are included in the commission's agenda packet and include the replacement of the two valves that were previously approved. So this is basically looking at what was previously approved, and here's the total package. So from Peerless Midwest of Ionia, the total price came in at $38,313.13. From Northern Pump and Well of Lansing, the price was $26,450.25. We have both used both of these firms before, and we've been generally satisfied with their work. Once we get all those components replaced in either of those proposals, that should allow us to return Well 3 to service. We have, on the south side, we have Wells 2 and Well 3. Well 1 been out of service, and the building was removed a number of years ago. So Wells 1, 2, and 3 are on the south side of town, and the other wells are at the north side of town. Currently, we're running on the north side of wells, and we've been doing that for a couple, basically since December, without any really significant impacts to the overall water system. But we would like to get Well 3 back up to service as quickly as possible so we have more redundancy and more capacity in our system if we need it. Let me bring up the picture that I mentioned before, just so everybody can see what we're talking about. And the proposals were included in the commission's packet. Go through that. This is the inside, as it's shown on the wall here. Inside of the pump house, Well 3 pump house, this big black tank closest here to me, the picture is the actual pump itself. Basically, this section of pipe, the blue pipe from the junction here at the well, all the way through these two valves at the far end of the picture here, one a 10-inch and one an 8-inch valve, all those components would be replaced. There's a check valve here. There's a pressure pipe here that they have some concerns about. Basically, all its components between here and here would be replaced under the two proposals that are in the commission's agenda packet. The water department does have sufficient funds for this. This would be an amendment to the budget ultimately because we did not anticipate this work needing to be done at the beginning of the year. But again, they have sufficient funds in their reserves to get this work done. So I'd be glad to answer any questions the commission may have on this and go from there.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Any questions from the public?
Hi, I'm some of that stuff, you can buy that over in East Jordan. I worked at the Ironworks for 32 years. You're talking about town, state, bringing it up. That doesn't make sense. And some of that supplies should be over there, right here. I'm still trying to figure out why we go to town, state. That's my question.
I'm sorry, could you state your name?
Oh, Steve, first.
In your address?
So, you know, on some of that might be all the way back to the valve to be bought from the store in Ironworks. I know, I worked there, I worked on those valves for 32 years. You're talking about having somebody else come up from somewhere, getting parts from down the state. I can't figure that one out why. You're not buying more local. That's what it sounds like.
Can you ask him? I think what we're doing is the city manager in the water wastewater department, and did you work with the rural, our person who's
right? Yes, yes.
Put together
John Howland.
John Howland. They put together a bid and they circulated that bid, and these are the two people who responded. I'm not quite sure. Maybe that product is coming from the Ironworks. I'm not sure. But that's how the process. It wasn't individually So decide, Mike.
I would go back to Steve's comments. Those two valves at the far end there were originally East Jordan valves. Mm-hmm. And I think their vintage is probably, I think it's around the 1950s. And that was one of the first calls we made was to the Jordan to see if they still have the components to it, and they don't. We tried to see if we can get those rebuilt. I don't know where they're getting all their components from. We didn't specify a person that they had to buy from. But our first call was to the East Jordan Ironworks to see if we could repair those valves rather than replacing them.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we can move to the commission discussion. Marty, do you want to start?
Well, my only question was why John isn't here to help discuss this, since our is our acting. So questions could be bounced a little bit more. But it, overall, I understand, you know, where Steve was coming from, although they don't have a store over there. You can't just walk in the few short ironworks. Say, I'll take that one and that one. So Lord knows where the parts were coming from, but I do appreciate the comment. But as far as, you know, where the quotes are coming in for replacing everything versus, when we had already approved the check valve, you know, for everything else we're getting, I don't see a significant difference in the quote that would more than cover everything that's there. So, with the exception of John not being here to talk exact specifications, I would be approved.
Thank you, Marty. George?
Yeah, question for Mike. Do we have a water reliability study? Do we have one in the city?
I'd have to double check on that. We just talked about our the grant that we just approved goes with regards to distribution system. I'm not sure how deep that will go into it. We have done reliabilities in the studies in the past on the water system. I'd have to look back and see how current they are, George.
Yeah, it seems like I fear we're throwing band-aids at things. I think maybe this is where we're getting in where we need to have a superintendent running the water department that would potentially catch these things before we have to vote on the same well three different times to keep, you know, throwing money at it. I know you're working on getting a water guy in here, so I think it's indicative of the fact that we really need.
I'm in full support. This is routine maintenance to keep our well number three back to service as a backup. Full support.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm in full support. The only question I got is in regards to these two contractors, is there a warranty difference?
Not that I'm aware of. I can double check that, but no.
Okay. Is there one's just a little higher on some of the material versus the other material? I was just wondering if there's a warranty or coverage difference in the material for the girl that person. I know that line can go up.
So, Mike John Holland did review these?
Oh, gosh, yeah. He was involved in the review of the bids when they were going out. I consulted with John as we tried to track down, okay, are there other vendors out there that we can get additional quotes from that would do this type of work? Yeah, he was intricately involved in it all the times that we've gone through it. And he was the one that basically recommended that we replace the check valve, which is this kind of bulbous thing here in the middle, to a different style after we looked at the valves themselves. It's just as we had more people looking at it, we're thinking, okay, it just makes more sense if we're opening it up, we should replace it from one end and the other and the inside there.
Okay. So I support the recommendation. If there's no further discussion, is there a motion?
I would move to consider the recommendation of the city manager to approve the accepting quote
$450. Sorry.
It's okay.
Tim seconded that. Any other discussion? Jessica, roll call, please.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Lassiter.
Aye.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Moody.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Okay, well, the next item on the agenda is a closed session request. Request the city manager Michael King to go into closed session for periodic personnel evaluation for a public officer as provided in MCL 15.268A of the Michigan Open Meetings Act. But before we do that, we could go into the, we don't anticipate making a decision, you know, I'd like to go to the good of the order, commissioners. If you have anything that we want to do before we move in, excuse ourselves in executive session.
The only thing I got is a social media contract conversation we had in regards to previously and the email that was sent out by the city administration from the last time there was a conversation from us. If we're going to leave it at that, or if we're going to go further in that conversation, figure today's meeting being as little as it is for this year. If not, then look forward to discussing again potentially during the budgeting.
So, Tim, are you asking him to put that agenda item under new business?
Yeah, I mean, we can today. We can make a consensus that we are going to make that an agenda item at the next meeting. But it's just one of those conversations we had, and that's that. We're not going anywhere with it. It's not gone anywhere. So I'm just bringing it up again to make sure that it does get to a destination of being resolved and moved on from. If we're staying with what we got, if we want some little different services provided, if we want to actually have that conversation and not more in depth, because it was brought up.
Right. Well, I certainly want to have the conversation. I thought we might go through the budget and, you know, evaluate where we are, what we need to do, what our expectation might be, so we can and then have it on, you know, period shortly after that, have it on the meeting agenda, is what I was thinking.
All right.
When it was brought up, so.
All right.
Plus, we'll coincide with, we've got it on the website, too.
Yeah, all sorts of ways of how we meet with the community. Yeah. Commissioners, anything you have?
Just want to, I know we've said this a couple different times, on the agendas, you know, obviously there's stacked again a little bit where day shift, noon agenda, two items. And sometimes evening agendas, we may have 8 or 9 items. Speaking of myself, to come to this new meeting, I take that day out of work. And anybody else that works probably does too. I guess I'd just like to see a little bit more evenly numbered agenda items on the noon one versus the 7 o'clock.
Okay. Might be something where the commission revisits where we're now, we just want to have two evening meetings. That might be something. The only item I was under the good of the matter, I certainly would hope the commission would be in agreement that we could do with the publishers on a future agenda sometime with the expectation and try to have some resolution before the ice freezes next winter. Should give us enough time. So if you do that, we can lay the groundwork for that.
Is that a consensus of the commission?
So is it?
That would be my consensus.
Yes, I agree. And Mr. Mayor, I agree too with the consensus that social media / webpage / budget and maybe even tied into the hiring of personnel that has the skill set to do that. So, absolutely.
Okay. Well, with that then, I would entertain a motion to close our open session first and then go into executive session.
I didn't know if you wanted to make the announcement before you did.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, thank you.
That'd be the last, only other time.
So, yes, the next regular city commission meeting is scheduled for March 14th at 7 p.m. So with that, I entertain the motion.
Make a motion to consider the request of the city manager to go into closed session for a periodic personnel evaluation.
Second.
Jessica, roll call, please.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Moody.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Lassiter.
Aye.
Motion carried.
And I would entertain a motion to adjourn our open meeting.
I'll make a motion to adjourn the open meeting.
Your second.
Second.
Do we do it that way?
We should be doing it after we come back to closed session.